long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil ways. So I set out across that way, strike them down to make them pay and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't
back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, September 27th, 2019. And, you know, I guess maybe I'm somewhat target fixated. I was going through the headlines. I was going to get back to some stuff that I've been talking about this week. It's all interconnected. I was thinking it's messy to break subject matter over hours, hour breaks. But it's all related. It's all connected. So maybe not so messy. And, you know, maybe I'm target fixated on this technology subject, transhumanism, the singularity, cybernetic totalist, technocracy, all that stuff. But it is, you know, the zero marginal cost society, all that kind of stuff. But it is a major concern. I would say it's one of, if not the preeminent concerns of our day. And, people just don't seem to care. You know, you have study after study showing, experts telling us that social media is more addictive than, because of the dopamine feedback loop that Sean Parker said in that Axios interview. What was that, November 2017, I want to say? Yeah, Sean Parker. Facebook was designed to exploit human vulnerability, quote unquote. And, you know, you got guys like Chamath Palihapitiya and Sandy Perikilis and Roger, what's his name? Oh, gosh, why can't I remember his last name? Roger McNamee? Roger McNamee and, you know, many others. Talking about the dangers of this stuff. Tristan Harris is another one who's been outspoken recently. And obviously, Jaron Lanier. These are just some of the folks. And this is designed, as Sean Parker admitted, to exploit a weakness. You know, you're exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology. We understood this consciously, he said, and we did it anyway. Never mind the intelligence community connections. One degree of separation from DARPA and, you know, all of the other alphabet soups. If there was any separation ever, really. Never mind the fact that Regina Dugan admitted Facebook wants to read your mind, help you type with your mind or your skin or whatever you want to type with, and but only read the thoughts you want them to read. And there was another article, it was actually an RT entry. Let me see. RT segment like 3 days ago or something. See if I can find that. And this story just keeps reemerging. And it's just more, you know, designed to acclimate and anesthetize us to it. Is Facebook seeking mind control tech? Well, that's what Regina Dugan admitted at the FATE conference, F8, you know, Building 8. Facebook is in the process of acquiring CTRL Labs, Control Labs, a neural interface startup known for software that enables a user to control computer devices with his or her brain. And so this is a common theme. So these are things we should be concerned about. So meanwhile, it's difficult because, you know, you have, what's his name? You know, the Y guy. Oh, man. Y guy. No, gosh, what's his name? Just on the tip of my brain, now it escapes me. Simon Sinek. And there are so many videos or so many little sound bites that he's done, and we've played those. Let's see. Just look real fast, a quick gander. Multitasking is bad for radio. You know, but at least I'm making an effort. So, Simon Sinek. Let's see, Facebook, here's why social media is ruining relationships. The millennial question is another big one. We should play that. You know? That clip from... Simon Sinek reposted it. Yeah, why not? Why not just play that real quick? Let's see. Because it's quick. What's wrong with these kids? And he's said it in a variety of interviews. Same sort of way. The millennial question is one way that it was phrased. So, see if we can do that. And I think again of, you know, Santayana's words about change. Progress and change. Progress far from consisting in change depends on retentiveness. Is this the lesson kids are getting today as they learn, quote unquote, things by rote, you know? Memorization, when memorizing useless, superfluous information. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve. No wonder they want to sit in their parents' basement and play video games. At least that's something that they can control, sort of, or at least until the next version comes out. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve. All the advice that we got has not paid off, and by the way, now we're getting new contradictory advice. What are we supposed to do? It's hopeless. Learned helplessness. Just stay in your parents' basement and play video games. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. When experience is not retained as among savages or, you know, the contemporary American public, infancy is perpetual. No wonder, especially when Silicon Valley is the darling. And as Darren Lanier points out, guy who would know, he feels the need to point out the most obvious overall aspect of digital culture. It is comprised of wave after wave of juvenilia. When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. You're constantly amazed at the stupid parlor tricks. Oh my goodness, did you see that? That's the same dumb parlor trick we saw yesterday. Well, I don't know about that, but this was amazing. It was amazing. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Anyway, this is the clip, one of the things that Simon Sinek has said about this stuff. The millennial question. Oh, that's too long, I think. Yeah, you know what? I thought it was... What happened? The three-minute clip. Where did that go? Oh, darn it. I apologize. I think we want an excerpt of that. Maybe we can play a little bit of that. So, yeah, let's play an excerpt of that. It's the 15-minute video that Simon Sinek posted himself back in 2016. So we'll play a little bit of that, not all 15 minutes. Go ahead, please.
I have yet to give a speech or have a meeting where somebody doesn't ask me the millennial question.
What's the millennial question?
Apparently, millennials as a generation, which is a group of people who were born approximately 1984 and after, are tough to manage. And they're accused of being entitled and narcissistic and self-interested, unfocused, lazy. But entitled is the big one. And because they confound leadership so much, what's happening is leaders are asking the millennials, what do you want? And millennials are saying, we want to work in a place with purpose. Love that. We want to make an impact, you know, whatever that means. We want free food and beanbags. And so somebody articulates some sort of purpose. There's lots of free food and there's beanbags. And yet, for some reason, they're still not happy. And that's because they're missing. There's a missing piece. What I've learned is that I can break it down into four pieces. Right? There are four things, four characteristics. One is parenting. The other one is technology. The third is impatience, and the fourth is environment. The generation that we call the millennials, too many of them grew up subject to, not my words, failed parenting strategies. You know, where, for example, they were told that they were special all the time. They were told that they could have anything they want in life, just because they want it. Right? They were told. Some of them got into honors classes not because they deserved it, but because their parents complained. And some of them got A's not because they earned them, but because the teachers didn't want to deal with the parents. Some kids got participation medals. You got a medal for coming in last, right? Which the science we know is pretty clear, which is it devalues the medal and the reward for those who actually work hard. And it actually makes the person who comes in last feel embarrassed because they know they didn't deserve it. So it actually makes them feel worse, right? So you take this group of people, and they graduate school, and they get a job, and they're thrust into the real world, and in an instant, they find out they're not special, their moms can't get them a promotion, that you get nothing for coming in last, and by the way, you can't just have it because you want it, right? And in an instant, their entire self-image is shattered. And so you have an entire generation that's growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations. The other problem, to compound it, is we're growing up in a Facebook, Instagram world. In other words, we're good at putting filters on things. We're good at showing people that life is amazing even though I'm depressed, right? And so everybody sounds tough, and everybody sounds like they got it all figured out. And the reality is there's very little toughness, and most people don't have it figured out. And so when the more senior people say, well, what should we do? They sound like, this is what you got to do. And they have no clue, right? So you have an entire generation growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations, right? Through no fault of their own, right? They were dealt a bad hand, right? Now let's add in technology. We know that engagement with social media and our cell phones releases a chemical called dopamine. That's why when you get a text, it feels good, right? So, you know, we've all had it where you're feeling a little bit down or feeling a bit lonely. And so you send out 10 texts to 10 friends, you know, hi, 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 hi. Because it feels good when you get a response, right? Right? It's why we count the likes. It's why we go back 10 times to see if my Instagram is growing slower. Did I do something wrong? Do they not like me anymore, right? The trauma for young kids to be unfriended, right? Because we know when you get it, you get a hit of dopamine, which feels good. It's why we like it. It's why we keep going back to it. Dopamine is the exact same chemical that makes us feel good when we smoke, when we drink, and when we gamble. In other words, it's highly, highly addictive, right? We have age restrictions on smoking, gambling, and alcohol, and we have no age restrictions on social media and cell phones, which is the equivalent of opening up the liquor cabinet and saying to our teenagers, hey, by the way, this adolescence thing, if it gets you down. But that's basically what's happening. That's basically what's happening, right? That's basically what happened. You have an entire generation that has access to an addictive, numbing chemical called dopamine through social media and cell phones as they're going through the high stress of adolescence. Why is this important? Almost every alcoholic discovered alcohol when they were teenagers. When we're very, very young, the only approval we need is the approval of our parents. And as we go through adolescence, we make this transition where we now need the approval of our peers. Very frustrating for our parents, very important for us. It allows us to acculturate outside of our immediate families into the broader tribe.
There you go. Man, that's, you know, isn't that enough to say, whoa, 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 we need to seriously put a halt to and a kibosh on all of this nonsense. But no, because, you know, could a billion Chinese be wrong? No, of course not. And how dare I suggest such a thing? Meanwhile, 2016, Oxford English Dictionary, word of the year, post-truth. Not after-truth, but relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. Don't believe your lying eyes, your lying conscience, and all that stuff. Believe, you know, the propaganda. Believe the consensus building exercise. Believe the Delphi technique. All those things. So what should be an epidemic, a crisis of conscience, nationwide, so to speak. Oh, but Chris, you know, what are we supposed to do? Delete our social media accounts. Chris, why can't I see what you've posted lately? Oh, you can. And I have posted nothing. That's why you see nothing. Except just a restatement of Edward Abbey's quotes. I can't see. I can't see. Yeah, you can. You see nothing. You know, no wonder people are having problems. Little young children are seeing parents posting, look, I created a page for Junior. We just had a birth. We made a page for Junior. We're going to post pictures and videos. Just can't post enough. Good Lord. You know, it used to actually be fun and engaging to talk to people. You could call and catch up every once in a while, maybe a week, 2 weeks or whatever. How's it going? How's baby? All that. Now it's boring. That's what inflation does. It devalues the currency. And in this case, it's information and information about loved ones, including. And now it's just, you know, you're inundated constantly, overwhelmed with that. And there's nothing new to share. You devalue the interactions with the inflation of the currency. In this case, information, including about loved ones. So no wonder young people are, you know, look, Aunt so-and-so created a page for baby so-and-so. Mom, why can't I have a Facebook page? You're only whatever. Facebook says I can have one when I'm 13. I don't care. It's Facebook. Doesn't mean that Facebook's terms are my terms. But, you know, you're not supposed to listen to your lying parents either. So no wonder it's difficult. Meanwhile, Jaron Lanier, you know, who says, no, I don't have a Twitter, a Reddit, a Facebook. I have a life, a real life, which is redundant. 10 arguments. Why not go through those? 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now. You can buy the book for $18. I encourage folks to get acquainted with Jaron Lanier. The 10 arguments are, number one, you're losing your free will. Number two, quitting social media is the most finely targeted way to resist the insanity of our times. Number three, social media is making you into something undesirable. Number four, social media is undermining truth. Number five, social media is making what you say meaningless. Like I said, inflation devalues the currency. Number six, social media is destroying your capacity for empathy. Read the preface to Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget Manifesto. Seven, social media is making you unhappy. Eight, social media doesn't want you to have economic dignity. Nine, social media is making politics impossible. And 10, social media hates your soul. And that's not hyperbole. the technocrats' loathsome disdain for humanity. We'll be right back.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
So, 10 arguments Jaron Lanier makes against cybernetic totalism and the destruction of the individual in the break. Yeah. Bordoff, Julie, and I are going back and forth. She sends a funny face. kid's face that can't find the phone, I say, ha ha, indeed. And sadly, some adults, example, parents, and she agrees. And I add, in Wells' time machine fashion, the line between adult and child is being blurred, eviscerated, eliminated. Yeah. And like she says, they are all just buddies. And that is ironic. The video that I mentioned yesterday, let me see. How to Stop Your Child from Becoming a Narcissist. Don't watch it. Speaking of, they're all buddies. These are the people who are, you know, I mean, the title is good. How to Stop Your Child from Becoming a Narcissist. Lovers of Self. 1 Timothy 4. Or excuse me, 2 Timothy 3. I'm sorry. That's a different thought. Lovers of Self. 2 Timothy 3, 2. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Don't let Junior Asparagus engage in social media. Anyway, she refers to her son as Bud. I don't think what she's talking about is, hey, Bud, I'm so glad to hear you. And anyway, Bud, is your child's name Bud? Yeah, they're all buddies. And literally, yeah, that's what's happening. And so here's the problem with that in simple terms. I mean, who am I to say? But, you know, I am the host of this broadcast, so I'll say on this broadcast in that context. The problem with that, the kind of one of the essential definitive illustrations or examples or evidence of the problem with that being buddies is when you're hanging out with your buddies and they say or do something stupid that you disagree with, obviously, you can say, ah, you know what, take a hike. Get lost. So if you're a parent referring to your child in that context, your buddies, you can tell your buddy to get lost. Take a hike, can't you? Versus the way that I was raised, I remember being spanked 5 years old, and I'm approaching 50 years old. It left an indelible imprint, not just on my backside. Well, it didn't leave an indelible imprint there, but it did within me. And to this day, before my father passed away, I would not disrespect him because of that indelible imprint. And that applied to other people as well. Not always, because I'm not perfect, I admit. It wasn't a perfect application of the lesson within me, that is. But it left one nonetheless. And today, by contrast, you see, you know, buddies who, well, let's see, back to 2 Timothy 3. Lovers of self, Disobedient to parents, Ungrateful, Unloving, Irreconcilable. Malicious gossips, well, again, social media, enter social media. Without self-control, yep. On and on and on. Conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yeah, again, Romans chapter 1, the Freudian pleasure principle, but now that's been supplanted by the cybernetic totalist's application of the power principle, the will to power. One more quick note, and then we'll go to the phones. Quick note from, or concluding thought. Actually, before I do that, I want to strongly encourage folks to check out Jaron Lanier. And like I said, last couple of years, you got to wonder, he just publishes this book. He doesn't need to work. He doesn't need to go around telling people his 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now. What does he benefit by, you know, kind of opposing his friends, essentially, in many cases? Why would he be doing this? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
RepublicRadio.org.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are ours. These days are ours. These days are ours.
Welcome back. Arm of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, September 27th, 2019. A couple of quick entries and then to the phones. JarenLanier.com/10arguments.html. Web resources related to 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now. And you go through and look at the extensive list just in the last 2 years. Why? Jaron Lanier fixes the internet. Facebook's cryptocurrency could be a good thing. Rethinking the internet, how we lost control and how to take it back. Doubling down, preserving our humanity in the digital age. This is all counter to what we're led to believe is just sort of the inevitable. You know? Like Lark reminds us, the probabilists, in the absence of certainty, probability will do. Big tech needs to channel Netflix and clear the trash out of the internet. Uh, BBC, Facebook, and Google need ad-free options, says Jaron Lanier. Business Insider, father of virtual reality technology. Facebook and Google are dangerous behavior modification empires resulting from a tragic mistake. CNBC, VR pioneer. Why we should support Facebook deleters. So, you know, and we played the TED Talk that he gave, his 2018 TED Talk. And this is what he's talking about, you know. I mean, the way that he puts it, behavior modification, holy cow. His cybernetic totalist bent in You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, and elsewhere. So, concluding quickly, a significant number of AI enthusiasts, Jaron Lanier wrote, after a protracted period of failed experiments and tasks, like understanding natural language, getting back to the VentureBeat article I just mentioned earlier today, eventually found consolation in the adoration for the hive mind, which yields better results because there are real people behind the curtain. Wikipedia, for instance, works on what I call the Oracle illusion, in which knowledge of the human authorship of a text is suppressed in order to give the text superhuman validity. Traditional holy books work in precisely the same way and present many of the same problems. This is another of the reasons I sometimes think of cybernetic totalist culture as a new religion. Hyperbole? I ask parenthetically. No, he answers the question. This designation is much more than an approximate metaphor, since it includes a new kind of quest for an afterlife. And that, you know, for that, I would... The companion is... 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll just leave it at that. The designation is much more than an approximate metaphor, since it includes a new kind of quest for an afterlife. It's so weird to me, Lanier writes, that Ray Kurzweil wants the global computing cloud to scoop up the contents of our brains so we can live forever in virtual reality. When my friends and I built the first virtual reality machines, the whole point was to make this world more creative, expressive, empathic, and interesting. It was not to escape it. So in the same fashion, do you hear what's happening? The same fashion that what's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Well, Luther wasn't a Lutheran, Calvin wasn't a Calvinist, etc., etc. The same way that Turing's test was conscripted, Lanier's virtual reality is being conscripted, not even posthumously. And who, I mean, here's the guy who's considered the father of VR technology saying, this was not what we intended. Who's listening? The whole point, he says, was to make this world more creative, expressive, empathic, and interesting. It was not to escape it, as Kurzweil, the conscriptor, posits. A parade of supposedly distinct big ideas, quote-unquote, that amount to the worship of the illusion of bits has enthralled Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and other centers of power. Again, the will to power. Which is why, you know, Freud would have to be rewritten. Adler might be more applicable, you know, the will to power, not the will to pleasure. Because of the mindset of ascetics that Bertrand Russell wrote about, et cetera, et cetera. It might be Wikipedia or simulated people on the other end of the phone line, but really we are just hearing Turing's mistake repeated over and over. And I would add, it's not so much Turing's mistake as the misapplication and misappropriation of Turing. And, you know, I would say to his lament or chagrin, perhaps even to the phones, William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Morning, William.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I've always wanted to be on the side of the angels, and you know, but I'm not going to get there by surrendering to the digital welfare state. I've mentioned a couple weeks ago that I've been watching the research published from Google's Big Data Center, which is very spread out. And, you know, I've noticed most of the stuff I can't understand. It's very over my head, but I've noticed just reading the titles and reading some of these, you know, synopses, that there's a real big push for Google to sign up more and more corporate clients to shift their data handling to Google's cloud. It's really interesting reading the advertisements because it says, you know, yes, it's not free, but when you consider all that you have to afford is like this smaller staff and a minimum amount of equipment to pipe all your updated data to us. Mm-hmm. And it says, think of the massive cutting, cost-cutting benefits from not having to maintain your own servers and your expensive IT and analyst technical staff and the benefits to you. It said, mm-hmm. you know, with access to millions of other linked databases, our unbiased, I love that word, unbiased mm-hmm. AI will be right. able to give you answers to questions you didn't even know you should be asking.
Never mind the volume of stories that we've seen just probably in the last, I don't know, few months, 12 months certainly, about the sure. prejudice of AI and targeting certain demographics of people groups. Never mind
yeah, I mean,
any of that.
You talk about the millennials, I mean, what they're going to do is create a demon in their own image. I mean, it'll have all of the great qualities that they don't possess. When you were talking about, like, well, Jared Lanier, which who I admire, I met him back in the 70s, and I'm hopeful when I think of who he was back then when mm-hmm. I met him and what he's become. That is a miracle of transformation. I mean, this yeah. guy was up to his eyeballs in tech and believing that this was the wave of the future. And if someone like he, can overcome this indoctrination and this hookwink, I mean, that is a great testimony to hope for the future, yeah. that we all can learn to give up this stuff. So I wanted to tell, I had an interesting thing, you know, when you were talking about giving up Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and digital assistants sitting on your coffee table. In my Luddite consciousness, I've gone to the extremes of giving up the smartphone I never had, you know. And now I don't even, I read the headlines, but I don't read all the manufactured gory details inside. Mm-hmm. And guess what? I feel better informed. I can't quote times and dates and how many were killed and with what and what the manifesto said. But with all the time I save, I feel that I have more time to see the bigger picture. And also, I see how clearly most of this stuff is nothing but a continuous psychop. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do with place, time, who did what, and why.
Amen.
It's just a continuous psychop. And so I wanted to, yesterday I went up, you know, we're supposed to be getting snow here in Montana, and so I said, well, let's go up the glacier. It's clear up there. So I went up to Glacier National Park, and it was beautiful. We walked around, and it was just glorious, and everything's closed up. You know, the lodge and the facilities are all closed up. I mean, you have to find some bushes to go pee because they even closed the bathrooms, which was a
real surprise.
Well,
you have to wait till National Public Lands Day because, you know, that's tomorrow, and that's the prescribed.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. And so I was sitting there enjoying the sunshine, and I was right across the street, right across this path, from a phone booth, because you can't get cell phone coverage, you know, in Glacier National Park, especially in certain places because of the mountains and everything. And I was sitting by this phone book, and I watched all of these families come by, and I kept hearing the same type of conversation. Dad, what's this? It says phone. Yes, that's called a payphone. What's that? Well, you put quarters in it to make a call. Why do you have to do that? Well, to pay for the call. So, like, doesn't your monthly contract cover that? No, it's for people that don't have contracts or cell phone. And then these kids, their eyes would just like, are you kidding me? You know? And then they all wanted to take selfies, you know, of them standing in front of a pay phone booth. You know, it's all these, I saw several, you know, young kids take selfies of themselves. And one girl picked up the phone off the hook and she said, it has a dial tone. It has a dial tone. And it was like, you know, talk about a graphic presentation of how completely and in what short order we have been totally changed.
And detached and then, from reality.
They wanted Baudrillard's... to send their selfies. Yeah, they wanted to send their selfies to their friends. And then I saw two girls in two different families go into panic like, Dad, my phone's not working. Yeah, it doesn't work because you don't have cell phone reception here. And it's like, how long are we going to stay? You know, it's like total, absolute panic. What do you mean? You're like, well, it'll just save the pictures when we're driving down the hill. You can send it to your friends. But it was just like utter terror. Like, you didn't tell me that. You know, why did you bring me to this godforsaken place?
Yeah.
So
that's frightening.
Yep, totally frightening.
Reminds me of what I mentioned earlier, Jean Baudrillard's Simulacra and Simulation, the detachment from reality. And that is evidence of a psychological disorder.
Yeah.
And the parents, you know, it's induced and there's no concern. You know, it should be terrifying to a parent to realize that they're helping engineer psychological disorder in their children.
Yeah, and it is primary. These responses were not rational; they were emotional. It was like, you know, almost someone, you know, they couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh well, when I go down the hill, I'll be able to send and any messages, texts that have been sent to me, they'll be waiting for me. There was nothing rational about this. It was just like total panic. You know, they were grabbing their throat like they couldn't breathe. And all around us, I mean, it was so exquisite up there. I mean, the beauty, the sky, the mountains, the water, and the fact that, you know, there were more people than I had expected. We usually wait until the place closes up when we go there in the fall. But a lot of people got the weatherman's report that we're going to get possibly our first, you know, snowfall this weekend. And so a lot of locals said, well, I better go up there and just take a peek. And you could tell that the high mountains did have a dusting of snow, you know. And, you know, this is even for Montana, this is a little early. But I kept thanking the Lord. I said, you know, even if I had a cell phone in my pocket, you would have to be crazy to pull it out. But I met a lot of very decent and friendly people, very intelligent people, and they all had these smartphones. And they had, in order to verify that they actually saw this beauty, they had to take pictures of themselves seeing it. I mean, it's almost like a necessary confirmation that you really are alive where you're at.
Isn't that is, I mean, for those who have been listening to today's broadcast, I think it's an ironic and provocative paradox, you know, juxtaposing that with what Jaron Lanier talks about. You know, every instance of technology requires a person to verify and validate its existence versus the reversal of what you're talking about here. In nature and reality, it's terrifying. You basically stuck yourself in that little box. You've put yourself in Tron, essentially.
And you become an addict. I mean, these people need momentary reconfirmation that they are alive and are a part of something.
Meanwhile,
and it's like,
yeah, you have the opioid crisis, and oh my goodness, that's also engineered. But there's no concern about this addiction.
Mm-hmm. And the addiction is, I mean, I saw it in the body language and in the change in voice. I mean, this wasn't just like, oh, damn, you know, I should have known this. It was like, you didn't tell me. You know, you should have told me. You should have warned me. Why did you bring me here? You know, and it was like, calm down. We're only going to be here for another hour. And that wouldn't have made any difference. It would be like, but, you know, and this is like, I can't breathe. I'm going to just sit down cross-legged right where I'm at, and I'm going to go catatonic, you know.
Yeah.
And these were intelligent, decent people. I mean, that, you know, just like you and me, you know, and they were having this reaction, and I didn't detect a lot of amusement, you know, like, oh my God, this is, I'm going to try to use this phone. Do you have any quarters? You know, that's what I would have probably said. Like,
yeah,
I want to call someone. I want to see how this thing works. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like that. It was like, you know, they almost made the sign of the cross with their fingers. Like, this is the most worst thing I've ever seen. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so, and then
where's the night, holy water?
Right.
We can exercise it.
Last night I had a strange dream, which isn't unusual for me. I have a lot of strange dreams, but I was sometime in the future, and I was running out the door, and I ran out the door, and I was running down the path to get into my car, and I forgot something very important. And I went back in the door, and right there on the shelf next to the door was my fake contact lenses. These were lenses that had fake irises. So that, and it was like I had to put them in before I went out so I wouldn't be tracked or I wouldn't be annoyed by those individually targeted advertisements on those big screens like in Blade
Minority
Runner.
Minority Report.
Know.
Good morning.
Yeah, Minority Report. And this was an essential thing. And I noticed as I was driving down, I remembered that I subscribed to this because you have to change them all the time. So in the mail, I used to get. You know, or maybe Amazon dropped it with one of their drones in my backyard, and they had to change these because you know it wouldn't take long for the AI to figure out that I was using fake irises, and I was thinking like, why do I think that that's not as crazy a dream as it certainly should be sound, but I mean that's like the extremes that we will have to go to. It's more than just giving up Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I mean, we in order to defend ourselves from this ubiquitous and nefarious, you know, containment, we will have to go to extremes. Just not so much being tracked by an evil government, but just avoiding the inconvenience of being a part of this AI, you know, cloud-mediated madness.
Yep. Yeah, it is a soul-stealing thing, and that not by accident, that entirely intentional. So another word that I think of is pervasive.
Pervasive, unbelievable. It's very pervasive when it's inside you, not just on the outside, but when they put this thing inside you, it's like, you know, it's like how to contain a virulent, you know, disease. I mean, I see those people in the white suits and the mask and coming around and pushing you towards one of these decontamination tents. I mean, would it be great if we had these decontamination tents? You know, how do we decontaminate us and our children once we've been infected?
That you is know, a real and serious question and of no small consequence, in my opinion, because you see, for example, even just what kids go through, and I think of Bertrand Russell, Impact of Science on Society, talking about mass psychology and so-called school And I mean, that's the way he referred to it, so-called school. One of the most effective propaganda chambers or mechanisms. And what happens is, I mean, it's just terrifying to see how creativity and ingenuity and curiosity for the world around them is stamped out of young people by around age 12, 11, 12. And so it's a question of no small consequence. You know, how do you delouse yourself after contamination?
And how do you stop going to this fake oracle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean,
right.
Wikipedia is one thing, but there is the cloud and just the whole use of digital media mm-hmm. is another fake oracle. You know, like, I can't figure this stuff out myself without querying Wikipedia or Google. And, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a disease. I mean, I see it in enormously intelligent people. It's like, while you're talking, they'll pull out their smartphone and see if they can top your point. You know,
mm-hmm.
with like,
right.
oh, but you forgot that that was in 1947 in October. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, but it's the details are, you know, it's like, you know, not seeing the forest because of the trees. We have so many trees. We have so many details that it's a type of putting a hood over you. You
yeah.
don't actually have the capacity or the opportunity to learn the skill of doing an analysis.
Yep.
Because you are so dominated and just completely conditioned to just pump
yep.
one detail more through your eyes.
I can hear John in Tennessee speaking of 2 Timothy 3, which I mentioned earlier. I can hear him thinking of verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the curses of modernity.
Yeah.
Is that just think of how much in the next 20 minutes you could find in the next 20 minutes. I mean, I used to do research, you know, many, many decades ago, and I did research, paid to do research in libraries, and it meant going upstairs, pulling books off, taking it over to a desk, putting notes in the corner, taking 3x5 cards, and, you know, stuff that I used to get paid a month of research back then, I can do in 4 or 5 minutes. And
yeah.
that sounds like this amazing promise of intelligence. And what it does is the organism that actually contains intelligence is obliterated in the process.
Yep, absolutely. Information and intelligence are not necessarily synonymous.
I really appreciate your work, Chris. This has been a great program, and I thank you for digging and bringing all of this before us. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Much appreciated as always, and I took you off track. Hopefully, maybe we can come back at some point. You mentioned the unbiased algorithms Google brags about. For those who don't know, do a search for artificial intelligence racist, those three words. See all the articles. Google says, well, sure, it happens, but not, you know, in our case. Never mind the fact that everything Google, all things Google, are Machiavellian in nature. I digress. I hope you have a great weekend in spite of National Public Lands Day, and I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.